We invite you to open up your Bibles as we join Pastor Derek Olson for today's message.
Heart of Faith Church, what's this place all about? What's the deal with churches? Yeah, whether you grow up around a church or you haven't grown up around a church, sometimes I think it's interesting to try to figure out what is a church? What's going on around here? Is this a business? Is this a charity? Is this a service organization? What's a church all about? And who's leading this place anyway? And does it matter to us? You know, how does a church run? Who's leading it? Does it matter to us? Why should we care? Well, that's what we have to see in God's word today. So grab your Bibles if you want and open to 1 Peter chapter 5. As you know, we are in a series of messages called Life's Not Fair, and we're going through the entire letter that Peter wrote called 1 Peter. And today, as we study God's word, I think we're going to see what the Bible teaches us about church leaders and church members. And so we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 1. I'll read it here. Did you get there? Everybody got your Bible following along? 1 Peter chapter 5. And before we read that, let me pray. God, we thank you for your presence with us. And would you be our teacher this afternoon? As we open your word, would you open our hearts and minds to hear from you through your word? And God, we think of Pastor Jen and June and Jade, and pray for them as well. As Jade starts college, you'd be with him and be with the whole family. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and as a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. All right, so that's the chunk of scripture we're going to walk through today and take a look at and see what God has to teach us about shepherds and sheep. What's all this talk about shepherds and sheep, and how does that have to do with this church family and how a church operates? Back to verse 1. Peter writes, to the elders among you. So who are the elders? Well, in this case, in this sentence, in this passage, the word elders is not talking just about those who are older in the church family. In this case, the word elders is referring to those that are in leadership holding an office, holding a role in the church called elder. And so Peter's writing this letter, and now in the middle of the letter, he wants to address a few sentences to the elders, to the leaders of the church. And the term elder we see throughout your Bible, throughout your New Testament. When they start a new church, each individual new church was left with multiple elders. And that seems to be the biblical model of leading the churches. And so that's who Peter is writing to. So if he's writing to the elders, I guess we could think that, well, we'll just skip this part because maybe he's not writing to me. But I think God's word has something to teach us all the time, right? And in this case, it's going to be interesting to talk through this today because As Heart of Faith is a relatively young church, only about 3.5 years Heart of Faith's been going on. And so as Heart of Faith is strengthening and coming to be its own church, some of these leadership systems are in place, and some of them you're developing right now, and Pastor Jen is leading you in that. And so so all of us, though, need to know this because we all ought to know, what's an elder do, and what does God want them to, what's their role, and all that. So that's what we're going to learn today. And Pastor Jen needs help. Churches don't run on one person, and you know that because many of you are already serving and helping and making this church family possible. And so another reason that we ought to study this passage together is that some of you, God may call to be an elder. And the Bible even says that that whoever aspires, whoever desires to be an elder is desiring a noble task, that it's a noble calling to grow in your faith such that God would call you to be part of leading a church family. And so that's why we should know what elders are all about as well. So continuing in verse 1, he says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and as a witness of the sufferings who will also share in the glory to be revealed." It's really interesting here that Peter, he's an apostle. He's one of Jesus' closest friends. He's one of the first original 12 disciples, right? He's been empowered by Jesus himself to teach and lead and preach and heal. And he's an apostle. And instead of clinging to that title, Peter writes here and addresses the elders and says, "I'm a fellow elder. I'm one of you. I'm another elder leading this church." And even more interesting than that, not only does he refer to identify himself as a fellow elder, but he reminds them of this time when he was witness to the sufferings of Jesus. And it's kind of surprising if you think about it. Why might it be surprising that Peter would want to bring up the period of time when Jesus suffered? Because when Jesus was suffering, Peter was blowing it. It's interesting that Peter would bring it up, even want to bring this up, because when Jesus was on trial and falsely accused and beaten and tortured and then executed, his closest friend, Peter, was nowhere to be seen. Peter was denying even knowing Jesus. And yet he writes in this letter to us, "I was a witness to the sufferings of Jesus." And one of the commentators, one of the scholars that I read this week as I studied said, he thinks that maybe this is Peter's way of encouraging all of us that even in our most grievous sin, even when you and I are at our worst, there is reconciliation and forgiveness available in Jesus Christ. And so Peter's writing to them going, "I was there, I blew it, but there is hope in Jesus." And even more specifically, perhaps he was saying to the elders, "Lead humbly. You're not perfect elders, leaders of the church. When you sin, be like Peter and repent of your sin and own it. Ask for forgiveness and receive it and move forward." Instead of sometimes leaders are tempted to be prideful and hold on to those things. Verse 2. So now we know Peter's writing to the elders. What does he say to the elders? "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them." So if you're a note-taking type, that first fill in the blank, if you're following along on the note sheet, is that the elders are to be shepherds. Be shepherds, just like it says right there in verse 2, be shepherds. And this is what I wanted to make sure we know. This is something important to know. Throughout our New Testament, throughout our Bible, there's different terms for leaders in church. You might see elders. You might see your Bible say bishops or overseers. And then other places, the Bible says pastors. And unfortunately, over the years, I think we've accidentally, inadvertently put too much division between pastors and elders. Because really, if you look at the study of the Bible, these words are all used really closely together: elder, overseer, pastor, bishop. They're used almost interchangeably. And so they're not talking about two groups of people. They're talking about the same group of people. Pastors are elders, and elders are pastors, and pastors are shepherds, and shepherds are pastors, and shepherds are elders. Are you with me? There's just the overlap. And because, now I understand why we've got this distinction, because as the church has grown all these years, and as different local churches has developed, there are some of us, like myself and like Pastor Jin, who are full-time paid elders leading a church as our vocation. And then there are other elders in a church, in local churches, who have their own jobs and families and are busy and serve the church in addition to those things, and they are elders too. And so there's really not this distinction between pastor and elder. It's elders serving the church. The same root word that we translate into shepherd, the same root word we translate into pastor. And so it just tells you what their jobs are. Pastors are to shepherd. Elders, right here in verse 2, are to shepherd. So there's similarity to their callings. So your next fill in the blank is that elders are to pastor God's people and be a good example. That's the summary statement, that elders are to pastor. Leaders in a church are to pastor, to shepherd, to care for, to nurture, to lead the people and be a good example. Now, verses 2 and 3, I won't read them again, but we read verses 2 and 3, and Peter was more specific than that. Not just be shepherds, but he does give some specific instructions to church leaders, and here they are. He urges them that instead of being lazy, instead of doing their job because they must, or they just feel like no one else is going to do it, he urges them to do their job willingly. Be shepherds willingly. And then he doesn't want elders to pursue greed or self-interest. Leaders aren't to be leading just for what they'll get out of it, right? It says right there in verses 2 and 3 that God wants elders that serve eagerly. And the Bible would tell us that they serve out of love for people. And then instead of lording it over, what's that phrase mean? You know, maybe domineering. Instead of leading in a domineering way, my way or the highway, this is what we're going to do. Instead of elders leading like that, God is calling elders who serve humbly and who lead people because they are living for Jesus and they are an example of living for Jesus. So that's what the scripture is telling us, teaching us so far, is about these elders and the role of elders and what elders are to do. But practically, what does that mean to us? How does that apply here to this group of believers in Jesus, to this group called Heart of Faith Church? And that's what we want to talk about just for a minute. And so the next fill in the blank is, under the chief shepherd, Heart of Faith is Heart of Faith. And so the first thing, really, and this was in verse 4, but I skipped over it. Verse 4 uses this phrase, chief shepherd, right? Who's the chief shepherd? Jesus, I heard it. Remember in church, if you say Jesus, most of the time you're right. Right? That's the Sunday school answer, the right answer. Jesus, the chief shepherd in this case is Jesus. And so the first thing we want to know about Heart of Faith is that Heart of Faith is under the chief shepherd. Now, Pastor Jin isn't here, so I can get away with saying this. Jin Lau is not the senior pastor of Heart of Faith Church. And I could say that if he was here. Because you know what? Heart of Faith operates that the senior pastor, the chief shepherd, is Jesus. Now, we give human roles. We give titles to Pastor Jin and other leaders. And really, what Pastor Jin and your other leaders here are under-shepherds to the chief shepherd. So that's first and foremost. Secondly, under the chief shepherd, Heart of Faith Church is committed to a congregational form of government. And this might sound a little boring. You might not be interested. I'm not sure. You might be a little confused. But here's what church government is. Church government just refers to how is a church run? How is a church structured? And how is a group like this organized? You know, that's the form of church government. And congregational, oh, and by the way, you know, I started out at the beginning asking some questions. What is a church anyway? Well, it's not a business. So we don't operate it like a business. It's not just a charity or something. And yes, Heart of Faith will become its own nonprofit organization for legal reasons and tax reasons and all that stuff, right? But more importantly, what is a church? Most importantly, what we can't forget is that a church is followers of Jesus gathered together on mission with God. The church is not a place. The church is not a building. The church is not on Cardiff Street. The church is not wherever it might be in a couple weeks from now. The church is you, followers of Jesus, gathered together and serving Jesus for his glory. That's the church. So under the chief shepherd, Heart of Faith is committed to a congregational form of government. And what that means is that the congregation has authority. Each follower of Jesus, those that make up this church family, each of you and those that are not here this evening, are the congregation. And how do we think this is biblical? You know, where do we get this idea from the Bible? Well, I think one of the best places is from earlier in our study of 1 Peter. You may remember back in chapter 2, this idea of something the Bible teaches called the priesthood of all believers. Do you remember this at all? Back in chapter 2, talking about the fact that as a follower of Jesus, you have this God himself, the Holy Spirit, living within you, right? And so each of you has a connection to God. We believe that God speaks to and through all of his people. It's not just those of us that do this for a living. It's not just those of us that have been trained to be a pastor that somehow get to talk to God more. No, you have the Holy Spirit. God speaks to and through each of you, right? So we believe in a congregational form of government because we believe that God will lead Heart of Faith Church through its people. With me? Now, how does this look? How does this practically look? Well, here's how I think it looks at Heart of Faith. Correct me if I'm wrong. At least once a year, if not more, there are issues and decisions that are put before you for vote. Am I right? You as a congregation approve the budget, how we spend the money that God gives us. You as a congregation approve the elder, in this case, the leadership team that is in place. And you are the ones that called Pastor Jin and gave him authority to lead you, right? Because the congregation sought after God and put him into his position. And so that's the congregational form of government. And yet, I think the Bible has more to say, though, about how churches are led. So back to our notes, under the Chief Shepherd, Heart of Faith Church is committed to a congregational form of government and is led by a leadership team. And I want to say this really quick. Heart of Faith as a young church is sort of in transition, and right now you're led by a leadership team, a group of multiple people, which we believe is more biblical than one person having all the power. And as Heart of Faith continues as its own church, you will indeed end up with multiple elders, and your elders will make up your leadership team. At this time in Heart of Faith's history, you have one official elder, Pastor Jin. And a group of people that work with him that are your leadership team, right? And so this is important, though, that under the Chief Shepherd, we're led by a leadership team because remember I said this is not a business, and I think that sometimes is what happens is we want to run a church like a business, and there's a CEO in businesses, and they have all the power, and it's top down, but that's not how it is at Heart of Faith. It's not one person with all the power. It's not dictator power. It's a team of people working together. Yes, Pastor Jin is a leader, and yes, he's a big part of this church family, but he's working with a group of people so God can use the different gifts and the different dynamics of a team and the accountability of a team. There's a lot of good things there. So far, so good? Okay, back to our Bibles, back to verse 5 for that last sentence that we're looking at today. Verse 5, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders. Now, who's Peter talking to here? Why does he address those that are younger? He could just be distinguishing between, well, I was talking to the elders, the leaders, and now I'm talking to everybody else. But he specifically says to the younger. And I know from my background as a leader that sometimes the younger people in the church family are the ones that have the more tendency to be a little independent thinking and be a little rebellious. Anybody relate to that? And so maybe Peter is saying, you who are younger, submit to the elders. Submit to the leaders that God has put over this church. But even if he was addressing just the young, if the most independent and rebellious in the church need to submit to the elders, it follows that all of us do. And so Peter's writing to all of us that are part of a church family, submit yourselves to the elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. The next fill in the blank is Christians, be sheep. Elders are the shepherds. You followers of Jesus that are part of a church, be sheep. And I know you woke up this morning and thought, I want to go to church and be told how to be a sheep, because sheep are really cool and sounds like a really strong animal, right? And I want to learn how to be a sheep. But the Bible's teaching us here that he's given us shepherds. And if there are shepherds that are over us, the chief shepherd, and then other shepherds, then guess what that makes God's people? The sheep. And so we need to be a sheep, because I think the Bible here is teaching here and in other places in the Bible that we need to put ourselves under the care of a church family. We need to put ourselves under the authority of leadership that God has in place. Elders are to shepherd God's people, therefore God's people are the sheep. And we are to recognize, here's what it means to submit, your next fill in the blank. We are to recognize the authority and leadership of the elders. Or in your case at Heart of Faith, we need to recognize the authority and leadership of Pastor Jin and the leadership team. You know, we've seen this phrase before, haven't we, in our study in 1 Peter? Have we heard the word submit before? Remember all the past weeks that we've studied this together, and we talked about the government, governing authorities that God puts in our lives, and we're to submit to them, even if we don't always agree. And what about our relationships in our workplace, even if our boss is harsh? Endure. Submit. In our relationships in home, husband and wife, there are roles that God has given us. Why has he given us these rules? Why does he want us to endure and submit? For our good. And so that things go well, and that things go the way God wants them to go. And so this is just another one of those times we need to recognize the authority and the leadership of the elders, of the leaders. I want to read a verse here from Romans chapter 8, and you don't have to turn there if you want. Just listen. Let me read this from Romans 8. This may sound familiar to many of you. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, many of us know that, and many of us cling to that because it sounds really good, right? That God works for our good. But I still think life throws us curveballs, and we go, I don't know. Life's not fair. Why am I going through this hardship? Why this suffering right now? Why do I need to endure? Why should I submit to a government I don't agree with? Why? Well, if we keep reading that verse in Romans 8, it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined, here it is, to be conformed to the image of his son Jesus. Meaning, he's working for our good. And what he's doing in your life through the government and workplaces and relationships and friendships and marriage and the church family, all he's doing, even when it's painful and hard and we endure suffering, he's working for your good. And your good is molding you and shaping you and transforming you more and more to be like Jesus. The potter, we are the clay, that whole thing. And molding doesn't always feel good. But God is working for his good, and I mean our good and his glory. So in other words, we benefit from being shepherded. We may have thought, man, I don't know, being a sheep, it doesn't sound very fun. Kind of sounds like a boring life. Sheep's not a very cool animal. I want to be a lion. No, be a sheep. We benefit from being shepherded. God is at work for our good. The chief shepherd, other shepherds he puts in our lives are for our good. And we've seen this in our own study of, let me remind you this. Remember back in chapter 2 when Peter writes this? Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles, remember this? In other words, you are temporary residents here. Earth is not your true home, right? You live here, but you're not from here. And then he goes on to say, so abstain from sinful desires. Why? Because they are waging war against your soul. That sounds bad. Because of the sin entering the world and the fallen world we live in and the reality of evil powers in the world, there is a war going on against our soul. Now, why did I remind you of that? Now let me read you a verse from Hebrews. Listen to this carefully. Hebrews 13, verses 17 and 18, if you want to jot it down. But you don't have to turn there if you want. Hebrews 13, verses 17 and 18. And thinking about that war that is going on against your soul, now hear this from God's word, Hebrews 13, 17, 18. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Why? Because they keep watch over you. And actually, the word there in the original language, you, is actually your souls. So have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over your souls. God, the chief shepherd, has put other shepherds in your life to watch over you and to help you grow spiritually and to keep you safe spiritually and to help you have victory in this war against your soul. I want that, don't you? I want that help in my spiritual life. I need to submit myself to the leaders of our church. And so the last fill in the blank is why church membership? Why church membership? Now, this is a good thing for us to discuss this afternoon because Heart of Faith does not have formal membership process yet. You that are attending are part of the congregation. You that are attending are, for now, members of Heart of Faith Church. As your church continues forward, Pastor Jin's told me, if I understand correctly, Pastor Jin has told me that he and the leadership team are going to begin talking about this idea of membership. And why should I become a member of Heart of Faith Church? You know, isn't just attending good enough? I'm here. Is that good? Or is there a biblical reason for becoming a member? And I just want to share with you for a couple minutes, and if you want to take some notes there at the bottom of your page about membership, this is where we're going to finish up today. I think there's a biblical case. I think there are biblical reasons why membership in a local church is important. Now, that said, I will say this right up front. You're not going to read that in here explicitly. I can't tell you to turn to a verse and it's going to say to you, take a class about Heart of Faith Church and then sign an agreement and become a member. That's not in here. I'll be honest. But what is in our Bible? As we read our New Testament, aren't we constantly encouraged to be committed to a community of believers, being part of other followers of Jesus? And as we read our Bibles, isn't there always urging us to be committed to Jesus and committed to brothers and sisters in Christ? And as we read our Bibles, we're urged to continue meeting together. And then recently we talked about the fact that the church in the Bible is called the body of Christ, right? With Christ as the head of the body. And each of us is a part or a member, an important part of the body, and we need each other, and every part, every member doing his or her part is what makes the body function most in a most healthy way. So on and on and on, as we study our Bible, I think there are ways that show us that being committed, being part of a church family, submitting to the authority of leaders is something very biblical. What about the all the one another's? You know, sometimes we refer to these phrases in the Bible as the one another's, like this. There's many of them, and I won't even tell you where they all are. You'd have to look them up. Love one another. Serve one another. Right? These are all in the Bible. Encourage one another. Carry one another's burdens. Pray for one another. Confess to one another. Build one another up. And on and on and on. You can't do the one another's following Jesus in isolation. I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, and I'm going to be over here following Jesus all by myself. Now, how can I do the one another's if I'm not committed to a family of believers where other people know me and I know them, and we care and we help each other grow spiritually? And so I think church membership is that, is submitting to the authority of the leaders. I think church membership is accepting the authority that God has put in your life. And this is not just, sometimes we think of this as just a negative thing, because I think in our culture, you know, in our American lifestyle, we want the power and the control, and I'm in charge of my life, and don't ever anybody tell me what to do, right? But this is not just a negative thing. If we put ourselves under the leadership of church leaders, we receive blessing too. I mean, how does Pastor Jin and the other leaders here serve you? With instruction in God's word, with prayers for you, with visiting you in the hospital, with performing your funerals and weddings, right? We receive blessing and instruction from our elders, from our leaders. And so we put ourselves under their leadership. And sometimes submitting to their leadership means that they're going to correct us when we blow it and bring us back in when we're the one sheep that wanders out of the fold. We want shepherds to come and get us and bring us back to God's people. Remember that verse I already read to you, Hebrews 13, it says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over your souls. Listen to how it keeps going. The elders, the leaders, keep watch over your souls as those who must give an account. If you're a leader or an elder in God's church, this should be a very serious thought. As an elder at Paseo Del Rey Church, me, as an elder at Paseo Gin and other leaders in the future, God is saying we need to give an account before God. We are responsible before God for the care of the sheep that he's entrusted us to. So Gin, Pastor Gin, will answer to God for the care of the sheep that he's been given. Now, how can God, now this is a question. How can he be held accountable for caring for sheep if he doesn't really even barely know who they are? If Pastor Gin and the leadership team don't even really know who you are, or they know who you are, but you're not really committed because you just come once in a while, or you come, but you try to stay on the outskirts because you're really not sure about this Jesus thing, that's fine. And we want you here, and we want you learning, and we want you growing. But I don't think that Pastor Gin is accountable before God for a sheep that has not said, I'm in. You know? So I think as sheep, as followers of Jesus, we need to be putting ourselves under the leadership of a church family for our growth, for our good, to be urged on toward following Jesus. So here's kind of my last thing is, if you feel like that's an area where you could grow, you know, where, I don't know, I come here, but maybe I'm not really committed. I need to really be a sheep and say, this is my flock and these are my shepherds. If you feel like Jesus is telling you you could grow in that area, then I think there's lots of ways where you can take steps to get more involved and to have people know you and so that you know others. And there's no one right answer. This looks different for different people. But here's just a few things that came to my mind. If you want to follow God and be part of a church family, because this whole letter to 1 Peter is talking about suffering and difficult times, right? Let's go through it with a church family to help and with shepherds to care for us. So a couple of things you could do. Don't just slip out, you know. When we say amen at the end of the worship gathering, don't slip out. Stay and meet people and know people. Don't be anonymous. I know it's a little harder, heart of faith. I mean, there's not too many of you, so you can't, it's hard to slip in and out of here without being seen, I suppose. But we try still sometimes. If we don't want to be committed, we still try to just kind of get in and out and not really let anybody notice us. And I'm saying, embrace the name tags, you know? Go for it. They're here so we can know your name and you can know mine and we can begin to care about each other. Sundays are great. It's important for us to be here at 4:10 on Sunday afternoons, and it's great to be together as a large group. But the church also is opportunities to gather together in smaller groups. You need to join a growth group, or you need to begin serving here at church so that you're alongside other people, so that you have relationships you're making and connections you're making. The point is that I just don't think God wants us to be consumers, just to sit and get what we get out of it. God wants you to participate in your church family. Be a member. And maybe formal membership is something that will come before too long at Heart of Faith. And if you hear in the future Pastor Gin talk about church membership, you can take a look back at 1 Peter 5 and other places and think, you know, why do I need to put myself under the authority of a church family? Instead of thinking that we can do this alone, instead of thinking that we don't need church, let's know that God I think God's chosen instrument for his mission in our world is the local church. God wants to make a difference in our world through you, through Heart of Faith. And one of the best ways, I think one of the best ways that the chief shepherd loves us is through the shepherds he's put over us in the local church. So we're gonna worship here with a song and are giving our gifts as the ushers pass the offering trays, and I wanna pray for you. So would you stand, and the worship team can come back up, and I wanna pray, and then we're gonna give our gifts as the in the offering baskets. And let's ask God to show us what he has for us. Father God, we thank you for your love for us, and for we praise you that you are at work for our good. We want you to get all the glory in our lives and in everything that happens. We know that you are sovereign and in control. And so it is so amazing, and we are thankful to know that you are at work for our good and your glory. And so God, I pray that as we go into different situations and into different friendships and relationships, and we come to know our church, God, would you help us to see that submitting and being under authority is for our good, and that we can benefit from being shepherded. And God, we just worship you now as we lift our voices. Help us to seek you in all that we do.